and amen. Jeremiah chapter 3. What a passage. Jeremiah is writing to and prophesying to Israel and Judah. I'm going to start tonight as we read through. I'm going to give you a little bit of background on the Old Testament history, what's going on within this, so you can see what is taking place here. In verse number 1 of Jeremiah chapter 3, I want to read several verses, so just stay with me, and we'll be done, well, when we're done. So, verse 1 says, "They say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him, and become another man's wife, shall he return unto her again? Shall not the land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return again to me, saith the Lord. Lift up thine eyes unto the high places, and see where thou hast not been lined with. In the ways hast thou sat for them, as the Arabians in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms, with thy wickedness. Therefore, the showers have been withholden. There hath been no later rain. And thou hast a whore's forehead. Thou refusest to be ashamed. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my father, thou art the guide of my youth? Will he reserve his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things, as thou couldest. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain, under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery. I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. And yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not returned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim the words toward the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, and thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city, and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass when ye be multiplied and increased in the land, in whose days the Lord shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done any more. at that time. They shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given them for an inheritance unto your fathers. But I said, how shall I put thee among the children and give thee a pleasant land and a goodly heritage of the host of the nations? And I said, thou shalt call me my father and shall not turn away from me. Surely as a wife treacherously depart from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way. They have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for in the hills, and from the multitude of mountains, truly in the Lord our God, in the salvation of Israel. For shame hath devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, and we and our fathers from our youth, even unto this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. I will just tell you right up front, this is not one of those uplifting passages of Scripture. It's not. As a matter of fact, God is dealing with Israel, He's dealing with Judah. Within this passage, we find one of the beginning messages of Jeremiah. I told you he has several throughout this. And tonight, we're going to look at the case against backsliding Israel and Judah. Let's pray together and we'll get started. Our Father in heaven, I thank you so very much. God, I know from time to time we come to passages like this that seem to be a little heavy for our hearts and for our minds, but Father, I pray tonight that we would make much understanding of this. And Father, not just that we may understand, but Father, may we make application in our own lives. For as Israel and Judah were backslidden against you, Father, I know that it is possible that even in our day and time that a Christian brother or sister can find themselves in a very similar place as Judah and as Israel. And Father, I would pray that it wouldn't be so, but we know that often it is. And so, God, I pray tonight that you would just help us to draw some things to our conclusion as Judah had opportunity to look at Israel and rather than learning from what she did, they chose to follow after what she did. And God, I pray that you would just help us in this, that we would just learn from their mistakes, God. May we apply it to our lives, and may, if there is one here tonight that would be in that state, Father, that they've just slidden backwards, whether it's a 2 feet or whether it's a 100 miles, Father, I pray that they would find a return into your grace and mercy tonight. Father, help us in this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. All right, now we need to give a little bit of background to what is taking place here, because I don't want to cause any confusion when we talk about Israel and Judah. Of course, we may say, well, okay, that doesn't make much sense because Israel and Judah are one. In 2 Kings chapter 12, after Solomon was king of Israel. So just a little background here. We had, let's just do a little Bible quiz. It's real easy. Somebody raise your hand and tell me who was the first king in Israel. Isaiah, who was it? He's just wide-eyed. He's like, raise my hand. Nolan, do you know? Saul. King Saul was the first king in Israel. Very good. Did someone tell you that answer? That's okay, but you got it. You got it. All right. who was the second king in Israel? How come it's all the kids raising their hands? I'm asking everyone. Be the stars. They want the kids to be the stars. All right. Asher, you raised your hand first. David was the second king in Israel. All right. It's going to get harder from here on out. The third king in Israel. May need some adults here. Solomon, very good. All right. The fourth king. Do you know, Nolan? It wasn't Bobby, I'm sorry. Is that your final answer? Anyone care to take a stab at this? It does start with an R. It's not Robert, though. Do you know Braden? Ruth was not a king in Israel. No, sir. It's a wonderful guess, though. That is a book in the Bible. Rehoboam. Rehoboam. But something happened when Rehoboam became king in Israel. 10 tribes came to Rehoboam and they said, "We don't like the way your father reigned. He was hard on us. He was mean to us. And we don't want you to be king." There was a man by the name of Jeroboam that had fled from Israel when Solomon was king. When he heard that Solomon was dead, he fled to Egypt. He decided when Solomon was dead and Rehoboam took the kingship that he would return back. And when the ten tribes of the 12 heard that Jeroboam was coming back, they said, "We want you to be our leader. We want you to be our king." And so what we had here, how many of you have ever heard, and it's not a term we use a whole lot, but you may have heard this before, about the divided kingdom. All right, how many of this is new to you? You've never heard of the divided kingdom. All right, very good. Well, the divided kingdom happened right after Solomon. So it only took 3 kings. Now, I want to remind you of something, that when Israel came to God and they said, "We want a king, we want to be like the other nations," didn't God say, "That's a bad idea"? Yeah, He did. It only took 3 kings. Really, it only took 1 king, the first one, to mess it up. And then God allowed David to come in, sit upon the throne. And we know the story of David and the history of David and then Solomon. But here we have now a divided kingdom. 10 tribes decided to follow Jeroboam to the north. And I want you to notice something, that every king, 19 of them, King Ahab being the absolute worst, all 19 kings in the northern kingdom were evil kings. They all did wicked in God's sight. Some did more wicked, some did less wicked, but nonetheless, they were all wicked. There wasn't one good king in the northern tribe, in the northern kingdom, that was known as Israel. Now, in the southern kingdom, you had 2 tribes, the tribe of Judah and the second tribe of Benjamin. When we see this tribe of Benjamin and Judah, they followed Rehoboam. They had 20 kings, and 3 of them were good. It took them 3 kings to have the first godly king. That was Asa. And then several removed. Later, we have Hezekiah becoming the second good king. He was the second best king of the southern tribe. Also within the southern tribe, you find Josiah. Josiah was the child king who became king when he was 8 years old. And the Bible says that he followed after and walked in the ways of David, his father. Josiah was the most godly king of the three good kings of the southern tribe. Out of the other 17 kings, they were evil, the Bible tells us. Jeremiah, if you picked up on this, within verse number 6, he said, "The Lord said unto me in the days of Josiah the king." So we kind of get a time frame of what's going on. Josiah, if you will remember, Josiah during his 18th year. Now, it wasn't during his 18th year of his reign, but he was 18 years old. They were doing work in the temple. They found the book of the law, and Josiah requested the book of the law to be read to him. And upon hearing the words of the book of the law, from Moses that he had given, the Bible describes Josiah as rending his clothes and calling for a revival and getting back to the book that was found, that book of the law. Jeremiah's during that time. Now I want to remind you that Jeremiah's years as a prophet lasted nearly 40 years. He's kind of going through a couple of different kings. But when we come to chapter 3, it is during the time of Josiah's reigning in the southern kingdom. And so that's going to help us here, because we need this, because when we see what is taking place and we see God not just has a difficulty with Israel, because Israel, that northern kingdom, was never good. Throughout their entire history, they were never good. But there was always a glimpse of hope for Judah. Judah never seemed to do as bad as Israel did. Judah seemed to have some hope. But by the time Jeremiah comes, and by the time Josiah comes, of course, Josiah, when you look at those that led before him, oh, they led him into such treacherous sin. Josiah was doing all that he could to bring about a national revival and looking back to the Lord. But God was choosing to use a man by the name of Jeremiah to help along the way. When we see this and we see the case, I want you to take note and see the importance of looking back, first of all. In verse number 1, God lays His case out. And He says, "They say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him, and become another man's wife, shall he return unto her again? Shall not the land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return again to me, saith the Lord." He says, "Lift up thine eyes unto the high places, and see where thou hast not been lined with." So He's saying, look back. He's saying, take a look, and look back where you have been. You see what you've done? There is an importance of looking back, and this is all kind of the illustration here that we're playing, or that we're going through here. But He says, look back, lift up thine eyes into the high places, and see, well, thou hast not been lined with. Hey, He says, thou hast sat for them as the Arabians in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms, with thy wickedness. You see, the judgment of God here. You know, sometimes when things begin to go wrong in our life, we might want to just do a quick look and look back and say, okay, is this happening out of a judgment time? Is this happening because of this? But look at the results here. The Bible says, therefore the showers have been withholden. And I know we go back and forth when it comes to the rain and all of that stuff. You know, when it's not raining, we like it until it hasn't rained for a while. And when it is raining, we don't like it. But yet we know we need the rain, don't we? We need the rain. We have to have the rain. And when it doesn't rain, it's not good. And yet, so here God is saying, you've done this, and now the showers have been withholden. There hath been that latter rain, and thou hast a hoarse forehead and refusest to be ashamed. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my father, thou art the guide of my youth? Will he reserve his anger forever? You're saying, how long is God going to just sit back and be merciful? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things as thou couldest. He said, verse 6, the Lord hath said unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backslidden Israel hath done? Hey, I want you to notice not just the importance of looking back, but I want you to notice the importance of those you look to. The importance of those that you look to. He says in verse number 6, hast thou seen that which backslidden Israel hath done? Now we need to know who he's talking to here. He's talking to Judah. Have you seen this? Have you seen what has taken place? She has gone up in every mountain, gone under every green tree, and hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. So here he's saying, this is everything that's happened in Israel. You got the northern kingdom, you've got the southern kingdom. That northern kingdom, oh my goodness, exceedingly wicked. I mean, if we had the time, we could go into all their treacherous sins, but this pretty much sums it up when you read the words of the Bible here in Jeremiah chapter 3. But he says, did you see it? Did you see what she has done? He said, I said, turn thou unto me. But she returned not. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw. When for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. Now let me just stop right here just for a moment, because can I just tell you, this wasn't smart. I have an older sister. I learned a lot from my older sister, didn't I? I learned a lot of what not to do. Yeah. I'm telling you, young people, listen, if you have older siblings, the oldest, man, they're the trial run. Matt, were you the oldest? You're the oldest, right? Yeah. Did Holly learn from you? You don't know? Probably not. I don't know either, but you got older brothers. Yeah. Did you learn from them? Their mistakes of what not to do, or did you follow after them? You made your own mistakes. I made my own mistakes too, but the ones she did, I learned and I said, I'm not doing that. I saw what happened. I saw my dad. I didn't want that. But there were times when I didn't learn and she did something stupid and I followed right after. And you know what I got? I got the wrath, just like she got the wrath. But it's a whole lot smarter if you just say, oh yeah, I'm not doing that. So here's Judah, and I'm not trying to really make light of this because it's very serious. As the Lord says, her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. What Judah could have learned, what Judah could have experienced, could have been much different than what she did. In verse number 9 it says, and it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land, committed adultery with stones and with stocks. The lightness, it wasn't that it was a light thing, it was the lightness of her attitude in which she did it. As if it were no big deal. As if it was just, nah, this is what we do. Well, in verse number 10, and yet for all this her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. In verse number 11, down following, we see this case expanded. And not only do we see this case expanded, but we see the appeal from God to Israel. As God tells Jeremiah in verse number 12, verse number 11. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Okay, wait a second. They've both committed the same sin. both of them. And yet God says, Judah is more to blame. He says, Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. I don't know about you, but sometimes as the younger, you would think, man, it should be the older. They're the ones that led me that way, right? I mean, they made me do it. That sometimes worked for me. You know, my sister would do something. I would say, well, she made me do it. And my parents would say, why would you do that? And it was like, whew, no heat there. But God said, hold on a second. I want to remind you what was taking place within the northern kingdom. The northern kingdom never had a right influence. The southern kingdom did. The northern kingdom started in rebellion, continued in rebellion. The southern kingdom, at some parts of their time, tried to serve God. They knew what God wanted. And yet they looked at Israel and they said, wow. And God says, yeah, Israel, more justified. Justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Now trust me, God wasn't happy with either one. And we're going to see some of these things here in the coming weeks as God deals with both Israel and Judah. But right now He's dealing with Israel. And so it's important that we understand this as we move forward here, who God is speaking to through Jeremiah. And He says, go and proclaim these words toward the north. He says, Israel, this is your message. Return, thou backsliding Israel. Again, if you're in the habit of marking your Bibles, you might just circle that word, return. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree. And ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass, when ye be multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall they be done any more. At that time, they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord. And all nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. I want you to take note here in this message to the backslider. The message in backsliding. Number one, this is the message. And I'll give it to you pretty rapidly here. I want you to notice, first of all, the nature of backsliding. The nature of backsliding. Now, one thing that I want you to notice in the nature of backsliding is it happens easily. It happens oh so easily. It also happens gradually. It doesn't just, you know, come up and, hey, I'm going to do this. No, it usually starts small, but it happens gradually. It happens easily. It often happens silently. You know, just one step at a time. And here I am. And then here I am. And then here I am. And just keep slowly going backwards And I might make one step closer, but then I make two steps back, and then three steps back, and then maybe one step or a half a step, and then keep going back. Oh yeah, it happens. It's generally preceded by pride in our own heart, a vain confidence of, hey, I got this. Oh, I know this. I'm good. I don't even need that. I don't need to pray today. I'm good. I don't need to read my Bible. I know what it says. Oh yeah. A neglecting usually is somewhere in that. And I'm just going to tell you, the quickest way to backslide is, can I just fill you in on this? The quickest way to backslide is not getting out of church. It's getting out of the Word. I know we place a heavy emphasis on church attendance and all of those things, and obviously I'm for it, I'm here, amen? But I'm just going to tell you, the quickest way to backslide, you can backslide in a pew all day long. Amen? You can backslide in a pew for years and come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You can backslide all the while you're sitting there. Oh yeah, it's possible. It's when we neglect the Word of God. It's when we neglect to communicate with God and allow Him to communicate with us. That's the nature. It happens easily. Oh, so easily. Gradually. It's not something where we just go from point A and we just jump back all the way, 100 feet away or 200 feet away, 100 miles away. No, it just happens. It happens a little bit at a time. But you know, there's not just the nature of backsliding, there's also the misery of backsliding. We begin to see things happen in our lives, and there's some heavy losses that are given to it. Israel had been backslidden for so long that they didn't even realize they were backslidden. I'll tell you, that's usually the case. We backslide so far and we backslide so long that we don't even realize that we've backslidden. But oh, there's misery that comes with it. There's a self-respect that's lost. That, hey, it's just not there. There's a tender conscience that gets seared. That we say, oh, well, this is okay. I did it once, nothing happened. How many times have we been there? Oh, nobody saw me do that. The first time we're nervous. We're nervous. Oh, yeah. But before too long, the farther away we get, that conscience stops. And we no longer have to justify what we're doing. It just becomes who we are rather than what we're doing. It's a heavy loss to have no conscience. I'm just going to tell you that. When we call right wrong and wrong right. But I'll tell you another loss that comes with it, not just a conscience, not just a self-respect, but eventually the backslider stops enjoying life. Stops enjoying life. That's a hard place to be. The Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, bad things can happen in the life of a Christian because the Bible tells us it rains on the just and the unjust. Bad things can happen in the life of a Christian. Tragedy can strike at the very moment, and yet the Christian can still have joy. But I can tell you who won't have. That's the backslider. Because that's a heavy loss that goes through. Hopes and dreams are gone. Heavy losses, that misery, severe disappointment comes in place. Disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. The misery of backsliding. You know, there's also a terrible disgrace that comes with it. Oh, yeah. before the world? A hypocrite at best. I heard just the other day, somebody said, oh, well, that's not very Christian. May that never be said to us. Somebody said, can you believe they said that to me? I didn't know how to answer. I hesitated to say, yeah, I could see why they would say that. You see, when we proclaim this, when we say, and sometimes it's not right, but we're a Christian. When Christians backslide, there's a terrible disgrace as a hypocrite. So aren't we all hypocrites? Yes, at times. But for the backslider, oh, what a disgrace. Before the world, there's a disgrace before the church, isn't there? There's a disgrace before God. If not, God wouldn't be giving us this in Jeremiah chapter 3 and talking about Israel and Judah and not just talking about them, but do you notice what he says? He says that's talking about treacherous Judah. This wasn't just a light thing, even though they took it lightly. I guarantee you it was no longer a light thing when Jeremiah came in, that God was dealing with them. So we see the nature of backsliding. Oh, it happens easily, gradually, often silently. We see the misery. Oh, there's heavy losses, severe disappointment, disgrace that's attached to it. But do you see the remedy? Here's God. And don't miss this. Verse number 1. Drop down to the last part there, the last couple phrases. He says, but thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return again to me, saith the Lord. What's the remedy for backsliding? Very simple. If you go to verse number 12, again we see, go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return. Return, thou backsliding Israel. In verse number 22, says the word again, return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. The remedy of backsliding is simply to return to God. Return! Come back, he says. Yes, you've committed whoredom. Yes, you've committed adultery. Yes, notice what he said in verse number 1. He said, yes, I've divorced you. Or later down, not verse number 1, but later down. He said, I've divorced you. Return. Return. This needs to be an immediate return. I mean, this probably be more appropriate for a Sunday morning, maybe. I mean, I have no idea, but I know there have been times in my life that on Sunday evening, I'm sitting in church and I needed this message. Immediately. I mean, this is just where we happen to be in Jeremiah in chapter 3, and God's giving this message of return. Return. There may be somebody here tonight that needs this message to return, and I'll tell you, don't wait, don't delay. It just makes things worse. But it's not just coming back. There are some things that must be done within this. While it is an immediate return, God is willing, the church is willing. But notice what he says. He says, return thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause my anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep my anger forever. Notice what he says here in verse 13. Only acknowledge thine iniquity. We must come humbly. We must come humbly, confessing and forsaking our sin. He says, acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. And I will take you of a city, one of a city, and two of a family, and bring you unto Zion. He says, come humbly. I say this often, but we must recognize who we are. We must recognize who we are when we come before God, and we must come confessing who we are. But we also must come believingly. As he says, only acknowledge thine iniquity in all of these things. In verse number 14, turn, O backsliding Israel, for I am married unto you. Again, verse number 22, return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal you.